so important to our society.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Recapping one of our top stories of the day, today at the White House, President Trump met with Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer and House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi. Things did get a little bit heated.
We need border security. The wall is a part of border security. You can't have very good border security without the wall.
That's absolutely not true. That is a political promise. Border security is a way to effectively honor our response.
And the experts say you can do border security without a wall, which is wasteful and doesn't solve the problem.
It totally solves the problem.
But I want to take this.
And it's very important.
This has spiraled downward when we came at a place to say, how do we meet the needs of American people who have needs? The economy has, people are losing their jobs, the market's in a mood. Our members are already...
Well, we have the lowest unemployment that we've had in 50 years.
50 people of the Republican Party are losing their offices now because of the transition. People are not... The morale.
We've gained in the Senate. Nancy, we've gained in the Senate. Excuse me, did we win the Senate? We won the Senate.
When the president brags that he won North Dakota and Indiana, he's in real trouble.
Let me say this.
We did win North Dakota.
This is the most unfortunate thing. We came in here in good faith, and we're entering into this kind of a discussion in the public view.
But it's not bad, Nancy.
No,
it's called transparency.
And that continued for a little bit longer. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Good morning, Hunterdon. This is Big C coming to you from HunterdonChamberRadio.com. at the studio offices of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce in Flemington, New Jersey. Good Morning Hunterdon kicks off your day by providing you with local news, traffic and weather, as well as light topics through Vitamin C, Wake Up Call, and Chamber Chat. I also have many guests focusing on Hunterdon County community, business, and education. Listen to me every weekday morning from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. on Good Morning Hunterdon, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Hoo-wah! The Frontlines of Freedom team really appreciate you joining us this fine day in America. United American Patriots support our brave American troops who, for wildly inappropriate reasons, have been jailed for murder by our military because they shot the enemy in combat. That sounds crazy, but it's true. Check them out at UAP.org. Here's what we have for you this hour. First, we're going to talk with Navy vet and surgeon Dr. Jeff Wilson. He's published a book entitled War Torn. Then I'll shoot the bull with former Air Force intelligence guy Jason Mulder. And then Jack Grubbs will discuss a great leader, Maggie Dixon, the late West Point women's basketball coach. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our Armed America Report. Troops, I welcome your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. Now it's time to meet Dr. Jeff Wilson. He's written a book entitled War Torn. It's an amazing story of, I guess, love, friendship, and faith. Welcome to Frontlines of Freedom, Jeff.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, Danny. Great to be here.
Jeff, at first, when I was reading the book, I thought it might be totally autobiographical. Then I found out you were in the Navy. Well, I God love sailors too, I guess. And this one's about guys in close combat and infantry. But it obviously shares values you have. You're obviously a Christian. There's some of you in this book. Talk to us about why you wrote the book.
Well, you know, you said it's a question whether it might be autobiographical. There's definitely a lot of me in there. And what I mean by that is, obviously, I'm Navy. I'm not Army, although I was in the dirt Navy. I did all my deployments with Naval Special Warfare. So I did spend some time out there in the suck. But when I say it's partly autobiographical, I'm really talking more about the emotional and spiritual aspects of this book. This book was born out of a lot of my own crisis of faith that I experienced after multiple deployments downrange. And, you know, and I know everybody that's listening, and you in particular, can relate to this. There's things you can't unsee. There's horrors in war that you experience, things you're asked to do, things that you see done, and pure evil that you see that makes you ask questions about your faith. And I think that my faith at the time of my deployments was maybe not as strong as I thought it was. And as a result of those experiences, I asked a lot of questions that I had trouble finding answers to. And through my wife and her faith, I was able to, you know, in the book, I say, come all the way home. And that's really what it feels like. Feel like you're not home until you get some of those issues resolved. So those aspects of the book are definitely intimate to me. The struggles of the young wife, Rachel, in the book are things that would be intimate to my wife, Wendy. So there is a lot of our personal experience and the challenges we had with our faith as a result of our military service in there, for sure.
Well, I don't think it's possible to live any kind of a life and have your faith totally rock solid from the beginning to end with no challenges, no questions, no anything. That sounds like a non sequitur, but certainly combat will bring it to the fore sooner, won't it?
Yeah, it sure does. I mean, you experience things downrange that sometimes can even make you question whether, if there is a God, is, you know, what's he doing? Like, is he really in charge? Is he at the helm? How could he? And I'm quoting the negative questions you shouldn't be asking, but why is he letting this happen? And of course, with time and study, you learn to ask the right questions. Those aren't the right questions. The questions more revolve around intimacy with God and relationship. And we live in a fallen world, and I think you're exactly right. No faith can really grow without being challenged. And these things challenge your faith and make you ask questions that can either drive you away, or if you address them in the right way, can bring you closer to God. And so I felt in my experience with some of my teammates and other friends that this crisis of faith that can be experienced in wartime service is way more common than I think people talk about. And so that was the purpose of the book, to, you know, I knew that other teammates and friends were asking these same questions. And if 10 of us are, then there's 100,000 of us that are. And so if I could fictionalize it and make it into a story that's approachable to a everyman type of soldier, perhaps I can help other people find their way on that journey back to an intimate relationship with God. So that was the purpose of the book. Totally different from my other books, obviously.
Yes, indeed. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing the book War Torn with author Jeff Wilson. So, Jeff, you obviously know about close combat. Well, you said you were downrange with some special ops folks. You know what it's like, because your description, the fact that you went through some of those things, explains why the book reads so well. And it is absolutely true that we have to not be afraid to ask questions, even not to be afraid to ask the wrong questions. That's true in everything in life, but it's certainly true in faith. Do you agree?
Oh, I agree with that completely. I mean, I don't think God is looking for a relationship with us where we follow without asking, that where we don't explore. You know, I do think he expects obedience. I do think that there are Christian principles that he expects us to obey. And I know that he has a graceful heart when we falter. But I do think that he created us with these minds and these hearts to explore things. And so I think that it's perfectly within God's purpose for us to ask those questions and find the answers. The challenge is to ask the questions in the right venue and to seek the answers in the right place, right? To seek it in the Bible, to seek it in the fellowship of other Christian men, to seek it in the counsel of your Christian wife, and to find the answers that way rather than, you know, some self-destructive ways that we see some of our teammates going down that path. So that was definitely the purpose of the book, was to shine a light on some of those things. And the family side too, you know, the first draft of this book, I will tell you, was very egocentric. It certainly had all the elements of combat and all the questions that the character Jake asks, but the wife was a two-dimensional character. And as we were going through the edits of the book, my editor, as well as my wife, were like, you know, there's a real story here for families that needs to be addressed too. And so with my wife's help, we were able to beef that up and hopefully make it approachable to spouses and family.
Well, I didn't know you had about the first draft, but I do know that I liked what I read.
And, oh, I'm so glad.
And that's a huge part of our real world. I mean, my wife has been part of my real world since we were married, even before we were married. And for her not to be able to be a part of it is bizarre. So, yeah, I'm glad you found that glitch and filled it. I think it made a – well, I can't imagine the book without it.
You know, you say it's bizarre, but I think it's something that combat veterans commonly do. In fact, I'd love to hear if you agree with this, and that's – there are these things that you experience, and you come home and you want to, just like the character Jake, he has this delusion that he's going to just come home and it's all going to be behind him and it'll be just as it was when he left, that he somehow hasn't changed. And if he can just get home to his wife, then everything will be as it was. And I think that one of the things that we as warfighters do incorrectly is we separate ourselves from our spouses who can give us the best support. And it's because we feel like they haven't been there, they can't understand. But we also don't want them to understand. For me, at least, there was that feeling of, gosh, there's things that I feel I can't share because I don't want her to know about them. Like, these are some horrible things that I don't want her to vicariously experience or maybe even know about me, perhaps. And so we build this wall to that one person that can really help us. And I try to flesh that out in the book, Rachel's frustration that she just wants to help him, but she doesn't get it and he won't tell her. And so I tried to explore that in the book because it's definitely a mistake that I made. Had I been able to confide in my wife a little bit better, a little bit sooner, my time to heal would have been much quicker. And had I been willing to share with my teammates and comrades, I would have found, hey, they're all going through the same thing. That's the other thing we do related to PTSD. Like, I'm the only one that has it, right? I'm the weak guy because I have these issues, so I can't talk about it because then I'll be the weak guy. But once you get into a group of fellowship with other Christian veterans, you realize, oh, it's everybody. Like, we're all going through this. And if we go through it together, it would be much easier.
Indeed. And we don't want to turn down the help of the person who could help us most, our spouse. While they can't know what we went through, they can know us and help us through it. Jeff, we're out
Absolutely.
Of time. How can listeners get a copy of War Torn?
Well, the book's available at booksellers everywhere. The easiest way to learn more about the book has come to wartornnovel.com. We've built a website where you can learn more about the book. You can click to Amazon and purchase the book, but also you can learn a little bit more about what we're trying to do with this platform. Our dream is to reproduce the men's military ministry and the spouse support group that we have at Grace Family Church in Tampa to other churches and communities where it could be beneficial. So wartornnovel.com is the best place to reach us. And you can also correspond with us there. If you're an organization that wants to be listed on the resource page, gosh, we'd love to hear from you. If you're a veteran who's read the book and wants to know where to go next, we'd like to be able to help you too. So the people can interact with us through the website as well. So wartornnovel.com is the short answer for how to get all that.
Great. Thank you, Jeff, for joining us today. Thank you for your service to our nation. I'm proud to call you brother.
Denny, thank you, and thank you for your service. I sure hope we get to chat again soon, and if there's anything we can do for you, let us know.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, I'll shoot the bull with Air Force Intel vet Jason Mulder. Then my West Point classmate Jack Grubbs will share his book about the West Point women's basketball coach Maggie Dixon. You've reported for duty to Frontlines of Freedom. Troops hit the deck right now and rest. The starting position for the push-up is called the front-leaning rest. Get into the front-leaning rest position and think patriotic thoughts. Stay there till I return. I want you lean and mean. Spartan Nash is a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world. Our MDV division exists to serve our military heroes and their families, both at home and abroad.
At Spartan Ash, we see firsthand the sacrifices made to protect our freedoms, and it is our privilege to serve those who served at our more than 135 company-owned grocery stores and independent retail locations throughout the country.
Learn more at SpartanNash.com.
This is Marine Vet Skip Correa with your Home Defense Tip of the Week. Sit down with your children and make a plan for home defense. Let them know that if shooting starts, they should drop to the ground for safety. If they hear breaking glass or see a home invader, they should notify you immediately if safely possible. If they can't get to you, they should hide until the danger is over. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit HomeDefenseShow.com.
At Budget Blinds, caring is in our DNA. It's the way we do business every day. It starts with exceptional customer service, a process that is centered around you. We listen to you, take the time to find out about your needs, then guide you through a beautiful selection of custom window coverings to find the very best options for you. Our commitment to caring continues throughout our local neighborhoods. We care for our homes and our communities. Budget Blinds supports so many different causes all across North America. We're your local neighborhood experts. We live and work right next to you, and we do it all for you. If that's the kind of personal service you've been waiting for, call and see for yourself. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. 855-BUDGET-BLINDS. Or find us online at budgetblinds.com. While you're there, find out more about the Budget Blinds commitment to giving back at #BudgetBlindsCares. Each franchise independently owned and operated. Ask for details.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Front Lines of Freedom. It's a pleasure to welcome to the show today Jason Mulder for a time of Shooting the Bull. Folks, you probably recollect that Shooting the Bull is when I bring in a veteran and we shoot the bull. Pretty technical on that. I'll say it again in case you want to take notes, or maybe I won't. Jason, you're an Air Force vet. Talk to us about why'd you join the Air Force and what'd you do?
Well, Danny, first of all, thanks for having me. I joined the Air Force for a lot of reasons, but I think primarily was I was born and raised in a military family. My dad was in the Air Force. My uncle was in the Air Force. My grandpa was in the Air Force, Army Air Corps. So I grew up in the military environment and the family. And then from there, I always wanted to fly. So that was my kind of motivation to keep pursuing it.
Okay. Most people, to include a lot of people in the military, not in the Air Force, think that everybody in the Air Force flies. They're either pilots or air crew. When reality is probably less than 10%, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a really small number compared to how big the Air Force is. And I actually didn't fly. So I went in thinking that I was going to. I got a pilot slot and I wanted to, but it turns out that they don't accept everybody. So they found something medically in my eye that they thought could progress into an eye disorder. So I was medically DQ'd from flying. I ended up turning out to be an intelligence officer, which was really a blessing in disguise. I was really fortunate that I ended up going down that path.
What do they do to you? They take a normal human being who's joined the military and decide they're going to make an intelligence officer. What's the training like?
The training is pretty intense, actually. We went through basically like a six-month training course and going into it really not knowing anything about intelligence or what it's all about. And they really teach you everything. And I can still remember being there for my first secret briefing. Of course, I can't talk about what we discussed, but being exposed to that material as a guy that was just out of college was really eye-opening.
You know, it is amazing. Throughout my Army career, as I got exposed to different things at different levels of security, some of it was I wondered why it was classified, but most of it was, holy cow. You probably found it the same way, right?
Yeah, especially right at the beginning because I hadn't been exposed to it. But then gradually you kind of become numb to it because you're exposed to it on a daily basis. So then after a while, it's like, this is just my job. But every once in a while, you'd see something and be like, wow, it's a really unique experience.
What is a typical thing that you would do? What kind of a job would you have and what would you do in that job?
I was really fortunate, again, to be exposed to a lot of different things. So I started out after I graduated from tech school. I went out to California and I was doing primarily ISR, so intelligence, surveillance, and reconnaissance work. And I got to be careful what I say here, but we were basically supporting guys on the ground across the globe and helping them to make sure they were safe, supporting different operations and collecting intelligence in a variety of different areas.
So probably you were using the input from aircraft, from satellites, from ships, from all kinds of sources.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. And some of the ones I can discuss, like the U-2, the RQ-4, which is the Global Hawk, a lot of the different drones, and as some people call them, RPAs or UAVs, a lot of different names. But those are the aircraft that we were using to collect our intelligence. So.
And your job was to keep people aware of what was out there so they could behave appropriately. Is that a fair way to put it?
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. And again, I was a young guy when I started out in that job. And so we had an operations floor, and here I am, 22 years old, 21 years old, and the operations floor with 50 to 100 people, many of which I was responsible for, at least operationally. So as a lot of people know that probably listen to the show, I relied heavily on my NCOs to get the job done. So,
but it is interesting in the military. I've talked to people on this show who at 19, 20, 21 were driving a ship, an aircraft carrier, a destroyer, or a Coast Guard cutter. You talked about what you're doing. Responsibility comes soon and fast when you're in the military, doesn't it?
Yeah, definitely. And I think the military does a good job of training us for that and getting us ready for that. But again, like the first time you have that responsibility, it's definitely eye-opening.
I think that's a good understatement. This is Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. I'm shooting the bull with Jason Mulder, an Air Force vet. Okay, Jason, how long did you stay in and why did you get out?
I was in for 6 years active duty, and why I got out, it kind of got to a point for our family where it made sense, like this was the right decision. I had done a couple deployments. I had been stationed all over the world and really got to do some cool things, but we were getting ready to start a family, and it became evident to me that I wasn't going to be a great leader to the people that I was leading because mentally I wasn't in it in terms of what I was doing anymore. So to be blatantly honest, I would say that's it. And I was able to transition to do something completely different.
Well, I understand you because when I retired from the Army at 22 years service, I did it because I decided it was time for me to pay more attention to my family than to my career. You just made that decision a little earlier in life than I did. Okay, what are you doing now?
So I'm doing a lot of different things. That's one of the things that I was looking forward to about getting out of the military is having some freedom to kind of choose my own adventure. So one of the things that I started when I was in the military and kind of kept with me as I got out is I started a blog for personal finance called The Wealthhound. And then I also started a podcast doing similar things called The Everyday Money Show. That's in my free time, but I do have a full-time job working in manufacturing as well.
Okay. So you are working in manufacturing at a company here in West Michigan. And that's your hobby. Most people I know who do what you're doing are financial planners and make income that way. That's not your situation, is it?
It's not really. It's really just kind of a passion. What started out as me wanting to learn and then wanting to share what I'm learning with other people. And it's just kind of gradually gained traction, but I'm still in it for the same reasons. I just want to help. There's so many people out there that can really benefit from learning the basics of personal finance. So that's where I'm here to help.
Well, folks, if you're interested, how can they plug into you? What's the secret, Jason? How do they plug in?
Yeah, the easiest way, you can go to my website, thewealthhound.com, or wherever you listen to podcasts, you can search for my podcast. It's called The Everyday Money Show. Come check that out. I do it with my co-host, Randy, who's my dog. And we do a weekly podcast, so I'd be happy if you guys came over and checked it out.
Tell us about Randy. Does he provide more useful information, or do you?
Yeah. A lot of people say that Randy is definitely the star of the show. So he's a coonhound, and I've had him for, let's see, 6 years now. But every week he picks a couple of articles for us to discuss on the show. And so he's really bringing a lot of the value every week.
You know, everybody who has a dog usually loves their dog. I haven't found one who had the dog as a co-host on a radio show before.
Yeah, he doesn't say a whole lot, but he's always there hanging out.
Well, you know, I've been told I have a perfect face for radio. He might fall into that category too. Okay, wrap it up for us, particularly the part about your hobby of doing financial recommendations. I take it you follow your own advice. Are you pretty good at what you do?
I like to think so. It's amazing. Your finances, really, I always tell people it's a tool. And, my website's The Wealth Hound. And a lot of people, when they think about wealth, they think about just money. But really, money, it can be used as a tool to really bring you joy and happiness in a lot of different areas of your life. And wealth is about abundance. And so that's what I'm here to help with. And I feel like a wealthy guy, not because I have a lot of money, but just because I try to live my life in a way that I have a lot of joy and abundance, whether it's through relationships or the things that I'm doing on a regular basis. So,
makes sense. Jason, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation back when you're on active duty. Thank you for the way you're serving the public now through your blog and website. That sounds seriously cool. Thanks for joining us today.
Hey, thanks, Annie.
Coming up on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll discuss the book about Maggie Dixon, the late great women's basketball coach at West Point. She was quite a leader. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Troops, it's time for one-arm push-ups. Start with a dozen, then stand at ease, but stay in the area. Imagine being a U.S. combat soldier or Marine facing the enemy, doing your job, fighting the enemy, and then being falsely accused of committing a war crime by our government. This sounds crazy, but during the last 10 years, this has happened too many times. United American Patriots support these wrongfully jailed American heroes by providing civilian attorneys at no cost to the accused or his family. Check unitedpatriots.org.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs entirely online. Flexible scheduling makes these programs convenient for working professionals. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's-granting public college in the South. Online, on your time. Visit Citadel.com. .edu/online.
USA Radio News.
Things got a bit heated today at the White House when President Trump, House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi, and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer sat down to discuss funding for our government and the border wall. Nancy Pelosi was not happy that the TV cameras were rolling.
The House we can get passed very easily,
okay,
and we do.
But
the problem is the Senate, because we need 10 Democrats to vote,
no,
and
no,
they won't
the
vote.
That's not the point, Mr. President. The point is that there are equities to be weighed, and we're here to have a conversation in
Correct.
A prayerful way, so I don't think we should have a debate
Correct.
In front of the press on this.
And regarding funding the government, the president said quite simply,
I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck.
North Carolina Governor Roy Cooper is telling folks in his state to sit tight and be patient. Weather is still not cooperating there, and at least 3 people have died from an early winter storm that dropped almost 2 feet of snow in his state. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Indeed knows finding the right hire takes time away from your business.
Hiring a qualified data engineer felt like a second job.
More job seekers use Indeed than any other site, so there's no better place to find someone with the skills you're looking for.
I needed someone with a master's in computer science and database experience.
Plus, Indeed screener questions help you find your shortlist fast.
Now I'm back to having just one job.
See why more than 3 million companies worldwide use Indeed to hire. Post your job at Indeed.com/hire. Indeed, the world's number one job site. Source.com score total visits.
When pros go to the Home Depot, they want to get what they need quickly and get back to the job. That's why pros count on the Home Depot's free in-store pickup. Online orders ready in as little as 2 hours to grab the moment they arrive. That saves time. Pro Extra members save even more with exclusive offers and benefits. Time-saving free in-store pickup, extra benefits, and exclusive offers for Pro Extra members. Only at the Home Depot. More saving. More doing.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent. If you are a spouse or a USAA member, you can get a reward of between $350 and $6,000 when you buy or sell your next home. This also applies to the children and grandchildren of current USAA members. Call Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker to learn more. He can be reached at 908-238-0118. That's 908-238-0118.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do appreciate your comments and questions. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or comment on Facebook. A Frontlines of Freedom salute to one of our show's sponsors, Spartan Nash, and their military division, MDV. Spartan Nash is the Fortune 400 company and the fifth largest food distributor in our great country. They've been honored as a veteran-friendly employer with over 800 associates, self-reporting as veterans, guardsmen, or reserves. MDV is the leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world. And in 2017, they were selected by the Defense Commissary Agency to be the exclusive supplier of the Freedom's Choice and home-based brands to all of our commissaries. Learn more or check out career opportunities at SpartanNash.com. It's a pleasure now to welcome to the show one of my West Point classmates. Jack Grubbs is also an author and has published an amazing book on leadership. It's about West Point's late women's basketball coach, Maggie Dixon. Welcome to the show, Jack.
Well, it's good to be here, Danny. Good to talk to you again, and I'm looking forward to our 55th.
Indeed. Jack, give us listeners a quick review of your time in Mother Army. I know you started as an enlisted man and ended up as a brigadier general. Fill the gap.
Well, the gap really starts with the University of Texas, where I had a hard time going to class and didn't do so well. So I enlisted in the Army, and the Army taught me it's either work or play, or not work or play, it's work and play. And once I broke the code there, I really kind of enjoyed the Army, and I was fortunate. I'd scored high in the test and ended up at the military academy, entering in 1960, where you and I were classmates. Coming out of the academy, I went into the Corps of Engineers and was a combat engineer with two tours in Vietnam with the 173rd Airborne Brigade and the AmeriCal Division, and I had to tour in the 82nd Airborne Division as well. I moved through the command and staff positions through battalion command, and then was fortunate to get picked up for the permanent faculty at the military academy at West Point, where I stayed until I retired in 1998, ended up as a professor and head of the Department of Geography and Environmental Engineering. All I can say, I guess as a bottom line to everything, is I had to live my life over again. I'd pretty much do the same thing.
You know, it's a real blessing when you find yourself in that situation. Okay, now, how did you become aware of Maggie Dixon? She wasn't there when you were there. I know you were long retired. Talk to us about how you've learned about her and decided to write this book.
Right. I was on the faculty at Tulane University in New Orleans, and I was home just searching through the TV stations, and I saw something on ESPN. Two analysts were talking, and one said, if you want to see what college basketball should be like, take a look at this. And they showed the last 5 seconds of the Army Holy Cross basketball game. It was the championship game for the Patriot League tournament. And I can go ahead and tell you right now, because of the book, that we won by 1 point. It's the most exciting ending 5 seconds I've ever seen in college basketball. And I saw the cadets storm the floor. They picked up Maggie Dixon. They picked up the players, and it was just an incredible celebration. So I was very impressed with her. And then 4 weeks later, I hear she died, and she was 28 years old. And so I was intrigued with her, and so I decided I'm going to write an article for our alumni magazine. And I called two of the players, and both of them just basically said she's the greatest woman I ever met. Her leadership skills were incredible. And over time, I just couldn't get Maggie out of my mind. Now, in my career in the military, I've seen toxic leadership, really bad, and I've seen incredible leadership, you know, like General Frederick Crozen and General Alan Grum and Sergeant First Class Frank Withers and people like that. So I thought, well, I'm going to study her leadership style. In that case, I said, I'm going to write a book. And I contacted a lot of people that knew Maggie going back to her time as a kid, and I talked to her team. And every young lady that I talked to, when I had to unfortunately talk about Maggie's death, they had a hard time keeping it together, as did I. So that's basically the background to the story of Maggie Dixon.
Okay, this is Colonel Denny Gillum on Front Lines of Freedom, and we're discussing West Point's late women's basketball coach Maggie Dixon with Jack Grubbs. Jack, she was only the coach like less than one full year, wasn't she?
That's correct. She was hired, actually, I think it was the 4th of October, 2005, and she died on the 6th of April, 2006. So she was only there 6 months.
Yet she obviously didn't learn. She brought her coaching and her leadership and her care of people with her. How'd she develop it?
Well, interesting story. When she was growing up as a youngster, she really didn't have any major interest in basketball. She liked poetry and taking walks and things like that. But she had a brother, Jamie, who was 12 years older than she is, and he's now the head coach at TCU. And she just loved him. And so whatever he did, she liked it. Matter of fact, a good story is when I guess she was 12 or so, and Jamie was working a summer camp, basketball summer camp, and asked if she wanted to attend. And she didn't care that much about basketball. She just wanted to be near Jamie. And she said, yes, are girls going there? And he said, he didn't really know, but he said, oh, yeah, I'm sure. And, of course, they go there, and boy, 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 no girls at all. And he asked her, he said, I'm sorry, do you want to go home? She said, no, no, I'll stay. She just wanted to be around Jamie.
Of course.
And so she stayed, and she competed well against the boys, and I think that just really helped her to love the game, and she got better and better and better at it until she was eventually recruited for the University of San Diego.
Okay, that's her love of basketball, but leadership is sometimes intuitive, but normally it takes some training, something to develop leadership. Any idea how that happened?
Well, let me just use the example. I know we don't have a lot of time, but let me use the example of when she interviewed at West Point. West Point selected four finalists to come and actually interview at the academy. The director of athletics told the team, I want you to interview the finalists, because they didn't have much time. They terminated the previous coach in September, so they were hurting for time. And she came in there, and when she met the team, she knew who the team players were, a little bit of their background. She had read up on the academy. She understood everything from the restriction of time, and she even knew the academic schedule, and what at West Point is called the one-day, two-day schedule. And, you know, where one day half of the freshman class will take chemistry, and the next day they'll take math, where the other half will take math first and then chemistry, things like that. So she really knew what she was coming into. And when she would talk to the players, they sensed that she trusted them, and they started to trust her. And so this bonding between Maggie Dixon and the team was just a classic example of good leadership. They told me, not just one, but several players told me, when she talked to me, I trusted her immediately. And so, you know, it was just that, and it stayed that way. It just got better over time, Denny.
Well, you know, that's awesome, and it's great when that kind of thing can happen. And if you're not genuine, it'll show up really fast. And obviously, in her case, she was genuine. And that's why she was able to be such a good leader.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more.
So she died of some kind of natural causes, I presume?
Right. She had an enlarged heart and a problem with a mitral valve. And nobody ever knew about it. She appeared to be in great shape. Many times she would actually scrimmage with the team. And she would beat the team up pretty well. So she appeared to be very, very healthy.
And everybody's going to go at some point, and most of the time you don't know when that's coming. And her time was just a lot sooner.
Well, that's true. But let me mention one other thing. When we talk about leadership, because it's one thing that a lot of people do not do, and that is when they actually brought in a guy named Dave McGarity, had been a Division I men's coach for 23 years, and he finally agreed. There's a great story behind that. He agreed to come in, and the offense that she was using was known as the inverted flex, and for him, it just seemed it was too complicated for the cadets. Not that they weren't smart. They were incredibly smart. It's just that they had so many things to do at the academy that it was difficult to do this kind of complex offense. And she said no at first, and then after a while, they lost a couple of games that they shouldn't have. And Dave told her, Maggie, it's just not working. And she said, well, okay, I'll tell you what, next game, if it doesn't work, then we're going to switch to motion. And sure enough, it didn't work in the next game, but they switched to motion at the halftime, and they took a 7-point deficit at halftime and ended up losing the game by, I don't know, just a couple of points. And the next game, they used the motion offense and pulled off a big upset over Cal State Fullerton. And so that listening and saying, okay, there may be a better way to make this widget played out throughout her, you know, short 6-month time at the academy.
Wow. So good leaders can also learn too, can't they?
If you can't learn, you're going to have a hard time being a good leader, the way I look at it.
Jack, thank you. Before I let you go, how can people get a copy of The Legacy of Maggie Dixon?
Oh, okay. They can. Anybody can go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, TheBooksAMillion.com, or they could go check my website out, www.grubsbooks.com. And, I tell you what, I would like people to read it and then pass it down to kids in high school or college. It's not a basketball book. There's a lot of basketball in it. It's a book on leadership, how you interact with other people. And that's the bottom line.
It certainly is true. Jack, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for your service to our nation, and thank you for this great book about a great leader.
Okay, I appreciate it, Denny, and I look forward to seeing you in Maryland in about 6 months.
It's a date. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Next up, it's time for our weekly mailbag. Then it's military history time. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be at about 100 pounds by now. Do 75 bench presses. I want you combat ready, then stand at ease.
Spartan Nash is committed to supporting our veterans as they transition out of the service and back into the workforce. As a veteran-friendly and military-friendly employer, Spartan Nash is committed to hiring, training, and retaining those who served our country.
Learn how your skills and experience can be put to use at Spartan Nash and begin your civilian career with us. Learn more at careers.spartannash.com.
Having a loved one at their bedside is a huge part of the healing for our wounded, injured, and ill service members and veterans. The Fisher House provides the housing necessary for that loved one to be there. They've saved military and veterans families an estimated $407 million in out-of-pocket expenses. They also provide the Hero Miles program, using donated frequent flyer miles to bring family to the bedside of injured service members. To hear more about how you can help Fisher House and learn about the Hero Miles program, go to fisherhouse.org today.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on huntertonchamberradio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, huntertonchamberradio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This program is brought to you by Joe Peters at Coldwell Banker, certified USAA Real Estate Rewards Network agent.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. Okay, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Please send me your thoughts at denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or by Facebook. Hey, Skip, what's first?
Pete from Houston really enjoyed co-host Skip's show. He wonders why anti-gunners can't see that laws only restrict honest people, not criminals.
Pete, drugs are illegal now, and anyone can get them at any city in the nation. That is sort of a dumb thing, isn't it, Skip?
Yeah, it sure is.
And it's illogical, that's the thing. Okay, who's next?
Mary, who was an army nurse, wants to know if you're absolutely sure that our military has imprisoned our soldiers for killing the enemy.
Mary, I know it to be true for sure. I know personally several soldiers who are now on parole as convicted murderers. Okay, now it's time to honor a deceased veteran who served our country well. The remains of a pilot who was killed during World War II and was declared missing in action has had his remains identified. Lawrence Dixon was killed in a crash in Europe 74 years ago next month. Dixon was a 24-year-old captain in the 100th Fighter Squadron when he took off in his P-51 Mustang fighter plane from a base in Italy to conduct an aerial reconnaissance mission on December 23, 1944. During the return flight, Dixon's engine failed and his plane was seen crashing along the Italy-Austria border. Searches for the crash site were unsuccessful. In 2012, an American recovery team found a crash site in Austria after receiving information from an Austrian researcher. The team found wreckage matching Dixon's type of fighter. Skeletal remains were later identified as Dixon's through DNA samples provided by his daughter, Maria Andrews. Andrews was 2 years old when her mother received notification that her husband was missing in action. She was born in a hospital in Harlem, New York, where Phyllis and Lawrence Dixon were living when he enlisted in the Army. A South Carolina native who loved music and played the electric guitar, Lawrence Dixon went to Tuskegee, Alabama, for training in a newly formed African-American air squadron. The storied Tuskegee Airmen would shatter aviation and racial barriers during World War II. Qualified as a pilot, Dixon flew with the 332nd Fighter Group's 100th Fighter Squadron, known as the Red Tails, for the color of the aircraft's tails. Phyllis Dixon died last December at 96 in Nevada, her daughter said. Lawrence Dixon will be buried March 22nd with full military honors at Arlington National Cemetery. Rest in peace, Captain Dixon.
Yeah, I like that story. That's nice. I'm glad they found him.
Yes. Well, now it's time for military history. Lead out, Skip.
On 11 December 1777, during the Revolutionary War, General George Washington began marching 12,000 soldiers of his army from White Marsh to Valley Forge, Pennsylvania, for the winter. As Washington began crossing the Schuylkill River, they were surprised by British troops led by General Charles Cornwallis. Cornwallis found them by chance as he was foraging for supplies in the hills outside Philadelphia. Upon spotting the British troops, Washington retreated across the Schuylkill River, where they destroyed the bridge to prevent the British from pursuing them. After engaging the British for a short time across the river, Washington's army retreated back to White Marsh, delaying their march to Valley Forge for several days. The Continental Army finally arrived safely at Valley Forge on December 19, where they would face a winter of starvation, disease, and death. While they suffered, the Prussian military advisor Frederick Wilhelm Augustus Steuben, also known as Baron von Steuben, drilled the miserable men in proper military discipline. Von Steuben joined the French-born Marquis de Lafayette and Baron Johann de Kalb, as well as Thaddeus Kosciuszko and Count Kazimir Pulaski from Poland in the effort to turn the ragtag rebels into a well-trained regiment. Come spring, Washington would have a professional army with which to fight the British.
And he did. And on the 10th of December, 1864, during the Civil War, Union General William Sherman completed his march to the sea, arriving in front of Savannah, Georgia. Since mid-November, Sherman's army had been sweeping from Atlanta across the state toward Savannah, one of the last seaports still controlled by the Confederates. Along the way, Sherman destroyed farms and railroads, burned storehouses, and fed his army off the land. The city of Savannah was fortified and defended by 10,000 Confederates under General William Hardee. The rebels flooded the rice fields around Savannah, so only a few narrow causeways provided access to the city. Sherman's army was running low on supplies, and he had not made contact with supply ships off the coast. Sherman's army had been completely cut off from the north, and only the reports of the destruction provided any evidence of their whereabouts. Sherman directed General Oliver Howard to the coast to locate friendly ships. Howard dispatched Captain William Duncan to contact the Union fleet, but nothing was heard from him for several days. Fortunately, Duncan had located a Union gunboat that carried him to Hilton Head, South Carolina, and supply ships were sent to Savannah. For 10 days, Hardee held out as Sherman prepared for an attack. Then, realizing the futility of losing his force entirely, Hardee fled the city on December 20th to fight another day.
Wise move. On 12 December 1950, during the Korean War, the 1st Marine Division closed into Hungnam, having cut its way through six Chinese divisions killing approximately 20,000 of the enemy on the way to the sea from Chosin Reservoir. Legend has it that the division commander, Major General O.P. Smith, supposedly characterized the operation with, "Retreat? Hell, we're just attacking in a different direction."
I love that, and I bet he did say it. Well, that's military history for today. Skip, it's time for your Armed America Report. What do you have this week?
All of us here at Frontlines of Freedom want our listeners to get trained and get armed in that order. We fully support the right to keep and bear arms for all law-abiding families, and we encourage you to find out about the laws governing use of deadly force in your state and follow them to the letter. And, of course, don't forget to follow the rules of safety and common sense whenever you're carrying a firearm to protect the ones you love. What's the story this week, Colonel?
Well, having a security system didn't protect a Florida woman against a break-in by her ex-boyfriend, but having an armed son did. The man approached his ex-girlfriend's house one day around 1 a.m. The woman received a security alert and called the police, but her ex fled before the police arrived. A few hours later, the man returned and, disregarding the security system, broke into the house. The woman's adult son shot the intruder as he made his way toward the bedroom of a younger sibling. The woman's ex-boyfriend jumped from a second-story window and ran. The police soon tracked him down. He was taken to a hospital and charges were pending. Police ruled it a justifiable shooting.
Thanks, Denny. There's so much to talk about in this story, but I'm going to limit it to two aspects of home defense. First, nothing good happens outside the home at 1 a.m. Here's what I mean by that. After work is when people start to party, so between the hours of 7 p.m. to 3 a.m. is when people are out and about drinking and driving and taking drugs. Drugs and alcohol both reduce inhibitions and put people in a mind-altered state. That's when people do crazy and violent things that they'd normally think better of. And that's exactly why it's against the law to drink and drive and to drink and carry a gun. Cops call alcohol stupid juice, simply because people don't get smarter with every drink. Their judgment becomes impaired, and many Darwin Award recipients have drugs and alcohol to thank for their demise. Second, alarm systems are fantastic tools for home defense, and I highly recommend you install one if you haven't already. But don't make the mistake of thinking that an alarm system will keep someone from breaking into your home. It wasn't designed for that. Alarms are just early warning systems designed to alert you to the presence of an intruder, thereby giving you time to arm yourself and call police. That's exactly what happened in this story from Florida. The alarm put the residents on high alert, they called police, and the initial altercation was averted. However, in the end, it wasn't the alarm that saved them. It was the presence of an armed citizen with a firearm that did the work. Alarm systems are a great defensive tool, but when someone is in your home trying to hurt you, it's time to go on offense. Liken your home alarm system to the radar on board an aircraft carrier. Once the bogeys are spotted, you still have to deal with them, just as this adult son did in Florida. Set up several layers of protection around your home, including lights, dogs, alarms, locked doors and windows, and surveillance cameras. The alarm system is just one very important tool. However, it will always be your firearm that acts as your last line of defense.
Boy, do I agree with that. Our movie of the month is Tales of the Jersey Shore, The Morrow Castle, Episode 1. Please go to the Frontlines of Freedom website, go to the blog, and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I'd really appreciate getting your input. Our book giveaway this week is Jeff Wilson's War Torn. To get in on the drawing, email me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com, and put War Torn in the subject line. Troops, as you know, we're honoring a deceased military person on every show. Not the superstars, but the average soldier, sailor, marine, airman, or coastie. They don't have to have served in combat, do have to have served honorably, active duty, guard, or reserves. Please help. I need some more names and stories. Send me about 250 words summarizing his or her service. Send it to me, Denny, at frontlinesoffreedom.com. Next week on Frontlines of Freedom, Michael Stumo will discuss President Trump's China tariffs and how they're working. We'll also talk with Dr. Carl Jensen, a professor at the Citadel, the Military College of South Carolina. Then we'll talk with Mary Walter about the Fisher House special that she's hosting. And, of course, we'll review this weekend's Army-Navy game. Go Army!
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Frontlines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Frontlines of Freedom. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the front lines of freedom. Dismissed.
If you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, this may be the most important 60 seconds for your retirement. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we transform typical portfolios that depend on speculative growth into portfolios that generate sustained retirement income for life. And right now, we're offering the latest book from our founder, David J. Scranton, Return on Principal. Plus, as an added bonus, our retirement income kit, packed full of valuable information, absolutely free. So if you're a baby boomer with 100,000 or more of investable assets, call 866-913-1234 right now for your free book and retirement income kit. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. In retirement, it's all about generating enough income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies. The secret to a great retirement is our middle name.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News.
You know what I'll say? Yes. If we don't get what we want, one way or the other, whether it's through you, through a military, through anything you want to call, I will shut down the government.
Okay,
absolutely. And I am proud, and I'll tell you what, I am proud to shut down the government for border security, Chuck, because the people of this country don't want criminals and people that have lots of problems and drugs pouring into our country. So,
President Trump at the White House with House Minority Leader Nancy Pelosi and Senate Democratic Leader Chuck Schumer. The president continues,
I will take the mantle. I will be the one to shut it down. I'm not going to blame you for it. The last time you shut it down, it didn't work.
Google CEO Sundar Pichai was facing tough questions today on Capitol Hill regarding data collection and user privacy. Some Republicans have accused Google of blocking conservative views. The search engine, though, denies that claim. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Ask yourself, if you built a van for your business, where would you start? At the beginning, of course. With the people who invented the work van over 100 years ago, Mercedes-Benz. You'd give your new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter advanced technology and safety to keep you connected and protected. You'd make it available in diesel and gas, and there would be thousands of configurations and upfits to choose from. You'd build it right here in the USA, because your one-of-a-kind business deserves nothing less than a van that's built for you. Introducing the all-new Mercedes-Benz Sprinter, the safest, most innovative Sprinter yet, starting at just $33,790. Built for you. The all-new Sprinter, built in the USA. Mercedes-Benz. Vans. Born to run.
MSRP excludes all options, taxes, title, registration, transportation charge, and dealer prep fee. Options, model availability, and actual dealer price may vary. See dealer for details about costs and terms. Equipment described as optional. 2019 Mercedes-Benz Sprinter available soon.
Lawmakers have reached an agreement on a farm bill, and USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes has the details from Washington.
It's a mammoth package that would fund key safety net programs for the next 5 years. The conference report signed by members of the House and Senate, a result of months of negotiations. The bill has a price tag of $867 billion over a decade. It's expected to be brought to a vote this week in the House. It reauthorizes crop insurance and conservation programs and legalizes the cultivation of industrial hemp, but does not make significant changes to the food stamp program that serves nearly 40 million low-income Americans.
Jimmy Dean is issuing a warning over its frozen pork and poultry sausage. Nearly 30 pounds of it are being recalled over user complaints of metal pieces found in the sausages. The Department of Ag is saying the recall includes Jimmy Dean Heat and Serve original sausage links made with pork and turkey with a use-by date of January 31st, 2019. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Indeed knows it's hard to find qualified candidates when you're hiring.
It's like finding a unicorn.
But when you post your job on Indeed, it's easy to find people with the skills you need.
Nurse practitioner,